Hello and welcome to The Short Squeeze, a podcast about what's happening in financial markets in the coming week. I'm Alex Druce, editor of Markets Live, a daily live blog on the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age websites. I'm standing in for Lucy Battersby. This week we'll look at fears of a second wave of coronavirus in the US. We'll discuss end of financial year and what lies in wake for earnings season. We'll ponder what Guy Debelle might have to say and also take a look at US jobs data. Today, I'm joined by IG Markets analyst Kyle Rotter. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
So we've seen quite a large uptick in coronavirus cases in the US, and there's been an increase here on local shores as well, which would definitely have investors quite nervous, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I think it's the overriding story in the market now. It's become that way again. Obviously, there was a few weeks, if not a month there, that obviously civil unrest in the United States really, I suppose, dominated that the narrative. And even throughout that period anyway, we still saw stocks rally and almost, you know, into this, you know, very brief period of irrational exuberance. But lo and behold, it's taken a few states in the United States to really succumb again to the virus. And we've seen, obviously, the caseload increase considerably. And our markets are back to questioning, you know, how bad could this potentially get for the US? How much of an impact could this have on the US economy? What restrictions might be required again? And, you know, what shape is the economic recovery going to take from here now that this is developed? So we're really almost back to square one in a way. And, you know, markets are really right now being driven by that COVID story once more.
And it sounds like it's almost like a callous way to describe it, but the markets seem to be driven by that fear of the economic shutdown, that things will be sort of wound back again, places closed down, social restrictions put back in place, as opposed to, say, you know, rising health concerns. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely right. And I think that's probably why we haven't seen, you know, the same kind of panic in the market that we saw at the start of March, is that the genie sort of seems out of the bottle now. There's, I think, the general sense that, one, restrictions won't come back into place because they may not be particularly effective, and two, even if they do come back into place, they may not even be complied with very closely by, you know, large parts of the American population. So it's probably the reason why we haven't seen such a huge panic in the markets yet, because there seems to be the lack of will and ability from policymakers to reimpose harsh restrictions. But nevertheless, I think there's still an element where things are looking a little less bright than they were a couple of weeks ago, that the sort of new this new wave of infections will still have put something of a handbrake on the economy. And I mean, you know, you look at the major the states that are affected most considerably now from this second wave. You're looking at, you know, Texas, Florida, and California. There's some of the biggest and most important, you know, I suppose, economic regions, states, economically in the United States. And I mean, Texas and Florida have announced, you know, a ban on taverns and drinking in bars. They've also frozen the progressive reopening of their economies as it was happening. And California too, you know, blue state, there's a concern that perhaps there'll be sort of a slowing of the easing of restrictions, if you will. So there's not the fear that the economy is going to go back into hibernation, but there's certainly the concern now that maybe the reopening will slow down. And then obviously too, you know, there's already signs that consumer behavior and you know, economic actors are kind of becoming a little less confident about the world because they're scared of getting sick again. So certainly not the situation like we were in March, like you just alluded to, but there's certainly the concern that there could be a slower economy than or a slower recovery than might have been expected and hoped up until quite recently.
And also here locally, as we mentioned before, in Victoria, we're seeing a little bit of an uptick as well. Will that be playing on people's minds here? Investors' minds here, sorry?
Yeah, I think it will if it continues to go on down this path. Obviously, it really does depend on how widespread the virus becomes in Australia. Obviously, it's a Victoria issue, I'm concerned to say, obviously, being a Melbourne lad myself. But I suppose you can take it at the word of health authorities in the state is that we're at a crossroads at the moment. And if this gets out of Victoria and starts to spread further, then that's going to take a real hit to the economy. And then obviously more particularly, there's a concern now that perhaps the recovery in Victoria will be a little bit slower than the rest of the country too.
So let's now have a look at something else we've got on the horizon. The end of the financial year is this week, and what is traditionally seen as a bit of a blackout period for earnings season in terms of corporate announcements. And this year's earnings season, safe to say, is going to be very closely watched, would you say, Kyle? And definitely a bit of a spectre hanging over things this year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're entering probably what's been the most significant earnings period for quite some time, and quite naturally that's because of the COVID-19 pandemic and the real uncertainty around what that's going to mean for business corporate fundamentals. I think the next few weeks will be fascinating because obviously we're entering that sort of confessional period where companies really like to sort of air their dirty laundry potentially before actually reporting results and trying to make sure that everything's out on the table before the actual numbers are announced in black and white. I suppose that the fascinating question will be is whether, you know, corporates will take this opportunity to be rather quiet and try and not rattle the cage too much when it comes to investor sentiment, or whether they'll want to just sort of, you know, give a warts and all approach and put it all out on the table there straight away, you know, perhaps with the convenient excuse of, well, you know, obviously it's the COVID-19 pandemic, things are this dire, this is what to expect, but hopefully onwards and upwards from here. So we're entering a period that will be really, really interesting, probably the most significant earnings period in Australia that we've had for some time. And obviously the results aren't expected to be too crash hot. So it's going to be a big month or so.
You touched on it there, Kyle, but you know, surely people expect fairly widespread damage to be apparent in the balance sheets over the next couple of months. Are there any, is it a case where, if it's better than expected is good enough in terms of damage being unveiled?
Yeah, well, I think, whenever corporates approach an earnings season, they try and set the bar pretty low to start with, and it gives them a better ability to sort of exceed that and then surprise to the upside, which is very important for investors. I mean, my sense is that given this is almost an act of God, what's happened with the pandemic and not particularly unique to any single business, although some obviously sectors of the market will be more affected than others, is that it's a real opportunity to kind of start from the ground up for a lot of companies, put everything out on the table, again, like a warts and all sort of approach, and say, listen, it's going to be a pretty rough half. It might be a little bit rough going forward, but this is our plans to get out of it going forward and sort of try to exceed expectations somewhere down the line. So, I mean, we already saw a couple of companies today come out with a little bit of an update and trying to guide the market in advance of the actual financials coming out in the next few weeks. And I generally think that that'll be the case, that they'll just try and get all the bad news out there, pin it on the virus, and then talk about how they're going to get themselves out of this mess, into the medium term.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. Thanks very much, Kyle.
IG is a world-leading online trading provider, giving traders access to over 16,000 global financial markets on our award-winning platforms. With over 45 years of experience, you can trade with confidence when with IG. Visit ig.com.au for more information. All trading involves risks. Issued by IG Markets Limited, AFSL 220440.
Welcome back. Kyle, we've got quite a data-heavy week coming up. There's something that I've picked out. We've got the RBA Deputy Governor, Guy Debelle, scheduled to speak on Tuesday, I believe, on the Reserve Bank's policy actions and balance sheet. Reading some of the previews that come into our inbox, that he's likely to recount the success to date in meeting the RBA's target for the three-year bond and restoring market liquidity, and also maybe discuss technical aspects of the quantitative easing program. What do you think we could see from Mr. Debelle this week?
Yeah, well, I always, I'm a personal fan. I think everyone is actually of Guy Debelle and the way he speaks and addresses the market, probably because he's a little less hamstrung than Governor Lowe when it comes to sort of speaking about new ideas. And a couple of years ago, he was the first to put onto the radar, really, in a speech that the prospect of QE in the future for the RBA. So he's always really, really good to listen to as far as future policy goes. But I mean, I think that'll come really be what markets are looking for is, what the RBA could do more of potentially to be able to support the economy if it needs it. I think, obviously they'll probably try and tout the fact that they've had quite a high level of success, based on their own metrics of how this yield curve control program has worked. You know, like you said before, the 3 years been pinned at 25 basis points. It's barely moved. I think the really interesting thing will be is that I think at the start of this process, the markets were really expecting a more conventional QE program where they really loaded up on bonds, particularly and focused on the quantum of money rather than just the price of it as a yield curve control program has a sort of a focus on. I think it'll be interesting that, you know, running a bit of a scenario analysis as every market participant does in their head is that, you know, if we continue to see a situation where, say, yields at the back end are a little bit higher than might be comfortable over time, whether the currency continues to appreciate because they're a little less aggressive with their asset purchasing, you know, what could the central bank do in the future above and beyond what it's continuing to doing, that it's doing now, in order to be able to continue to support financial markets and effectively ensure that the economic recovery is on track. So I think there will be a lot of sort of, I guess, banging on a little bit about the existing successes, and the markets will probably shrug that off. But I think the real interest will be in what more can be done from the RBA if it happens to need, you know, if it happens to step in any future, especially if we do see, obviously, another wave of COVID affecting Australia and the Australian economy. Mm.
And you're also got one eye on the US jobs data this week. What are you expecting to see?
Yeah, well, I think if you could say that there's a sort of overarching theme in the market this week as far as event risk goes, it's definitely the US labour market. We'll get the US jobless claims figures, but the big one this week will be non-farm payrolls data. And it comes out on Thursday this week because of a shortened week in US markets because of the Independence Day holiday. But we're sort of seemingly seeing a bit of an inflection point in terms of economist estimates for US jobs numbers, the US labour market. The consensus estimate is for the unemployment rate to fall to 12.5% last month, and that the US economy actually added 3 million jobs. So we're perhaps on the start of the recovery phase or the kind of inflection point where the economy is beginning to really turn around and build a recovery out of the COVID-19 recession. So I'll be watching closely for that just because the labour market data across the globe, let alone in the United States, if we can recall back to the jobs numbers last month, have been very unpredictable, difficult to forecast and highly volatile already. So I think a lot's going to hinge on what comes out of that data this week, and it'll speak a lot of effectively what is going on in the US economy and what shape the US economic recovery actually might take.
Thanks, Kyle. This has been The Short Squeeze, a podcast produced by The Age and Sydney Morning Herald in conjunction with IG Markets. You can follow daily stock market news in our live blog, and feel free to subscribe to this podcast via your podcast platform. You can catch us again next week.